Come on.
Amen.
Some of you need victory. Some of you need a breakthrough right now. Yesterday, the Spirit of God came to me about 2 Chronicles 20:20. Look at verse 18 first. I'm preaching now. Because the Lord told me how you're going to get your victory. Some of you, you're believing for healing. Others of you, you're believing for that marriage to come back together. Others of you, you're believing for different things. Some of you by live stream, you got challenges that are so big, you're embarrassed to be seen. But I'm here to let you know how to get the victory. 2 Chronicles 20:18. Because the enemies were coming after Jehoshaphat and God's people. And God gave him instructions on what to do, and those instructions are for you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Now, there's two examples of this where a person will turn themselves. The other one was Hezekiah, chapter 20, out of 2 Kings. He bowed his head, turned it to the wall, turned his face to the wall, and God gave him 15 more years when he was supposed to die. Gave him victory in the city. Gave the city prosperity through those people. And Jehoshaphat here bowed his head because his enemies were coming after him and coming after Israel. Bowed his head, his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping God. This is how you get victory. When you got challenges, you just worship God. You got problems, you just give God praise. You got situations, people coming after you, you're getting sued, give God some praise so you can get some advocates working on your behalf. Mm-hmm. God will get some angels working on your case, not just people. Look at the next verse, because this is powerful. Because while you were rehearsing this song this morning, singers, I was in our lounge here hearing that song, and the Lord said, I told you yesterday, I want you to bring this scripture about praising the Lord for victory before this congregation. Then when you just sang it, he said, I told you, I want you to share this with these people so they know how to have victory. Three times God has told me, you need this. Somebody needs this. And the Levites, these were the priestly tribe of the children of Israel, and the Korahites, the singers, and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a weak voice. No, he didn't. With a loud voice on high. If you get nervous because church is loud, you're going to have a problem in heaven. Because it is good and loud. Sometimes you got to scare the devil with your voice, just praising God. And they lifted up their voice, a loud voice. And they arose. Come on, let's go on that verse. That's good. And they arose early in the morning and went from forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. I like to say the wilderness of Tacoma. And as they went forth, here's another. As they went, something happened. You need to keep winting to this church. You need to keep winting to prayer. You need to keep winting to your Bible. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants. Come on, move on with me. Ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Now see, and this is where most believers are. Oh, I believe the Lord. Oh, I believe the Lord. But you don't believe your preacher. Sure don't hear no amens now. You have got to believe the one that's preaching to you, that they're hearing from God. Now, we just learned that we get the vision from God, so the preacher's not going to tell you everything to do, but you need to believe that what God is saying to that man. First of all, make sure that you are going to the church you're supposed to. Don't go to no jackleg preacher. I go become a relative over there. Well, that's the reason why all y'all did. You need to go where God will lead you. Now, just because they are your relatives don't mean you shouldn't go either. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. We can be established but still not prosper. You're settled. You can pay the rent without going to the casino. Brother Man just taught us that. But God wants you to be able to believe the word coming out the preacher's mouth. This is what I got to teach you. God, if you get a hold of this, we won't have to be begging you to come to church. Because you'll know if you miss it, you miss something from God, not just from the preacher. He had something to say to you. I never had that attitude with Dr. Frederick Casey Price, Apostle Price. Man, I knew if I was, in fact, I was sitting there saying there's going to come a time where I can't hear this man again. I want to make sure that I can hear him as much as I possibly can. And there will come a time where this preacher and perhaps that preacher, we won't be here. There'll be somebody else, perhaps. We'll be long gone because we'd be too old to do any of this. God just take us, let us enjoy heaven. But while we're here, you should suck up everything God gives us. And you need to believe what we're saying. I'm not doing this for any reason. I told the men yesterday, I didn't get into ministry to get money. I had money before I got in ministry. Made more money than I'm making in ministry. I was in broadcasting. I was in secular broadcasting. I wasn't even Christian broadcasting. I didn't even like Christian broadcasting. I thought it was weak. So I was in secular broadcast, entertainment, the entertainment business, just like sports. You know how to make money, all the stars in sports? The same thing in entertainment. But I'm not here to be able to get you to worship me. I'm just getting you to be here to listen to God. That happens to be coming out of me and others in this ministry. Here's what it says. Believe in the Lord, your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, his preachers, so shall you prosper. Let's see what it says in the Amplified. I don't remember. Just turn it over to the Amplified. So they got up early in the morning, good time to go pray, and went out to the wilderness of Tacoma. And as they went out, King Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Tacoma, Washington folk. And you inhabitants of the state of Washington and surrounding areas, believe and trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established." This is from the original Hebrew. You'll be secure. Believe and trust in his prophets, and you'll succeed. Pastor, how can I succeed in this business? Believe the preacher. Pastor, how can I make this marriage really be successful? Believe what the preacher says. Stop talking about him like a dog. Your kids can't stand him half the time when they come around him because they hear you. We have to uncondition kids that come to this church sometimes. My wife and I. Because they've been conditioned to hate us by listening to you in your house. I forgive you. But God is not pleased with that. You're setting them up for failure. You may be able to take your nasty mouth, but they can't. Stop displeasing God. Shut your mouth in your house. Now, I ain't been there, but the Spirit of the Lord let me know this. And then you come to church. Oh, pastor, and they're looking at you. Really? Pastor, you just talk about him like a dog. Trying to help you. It's not just for this church. It's for churches all over the country, all over the world. You got to regard the leadership. Or you're wasting your time. You'll be established. Yeah, you're going to heaven. But you're not going the way you could. Lord says, just shut up and let them think about it for a while. So are you the reason why perhaps you're not succeeding like you should? Oh, do I have to say that? Some of you women won't go to the women's meeting. Almost ready to turn the live stream off because this is sort of getting to be a home meeting for home folk. But I won't because they probably need it too. Some of you women don't go to the women's meeting. Can't take my wife. She's a preacher. She's a prophet. She's called of God. See, I'm trying to help us now. Because if we get these things established, man, it's sort of like taking off in an airplane. After a while, you get up there cruising. It's easy. But taking off can be a bear. And so let's get off the ground here. I'm doing some correction, I know. But I need to. In fact, go to Malachi. Not where you think we're going to go. Let's go to Malachi. I'm just being led by the Spirit of God today. I'm just letting him just share with me where to go. Let's go to Malachi 3. And let's look at verse number 6. It says, I am the Lord, I do not change. The God is not changing for us. If he said this in the Old Testament, he means it still in the New Testament. So God wants us to prosper by hearing the preacher. But here's what happened now. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 20:20. And I got something else over here in Malachi I'll get to in just a second. But let's go back over to 2 Chronicles 20:20. And let's look at this. So they got up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat, the king, said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe and trust in the Lord and your God, and you will be established. You'll be secure. Believe and trust in his prophets, his preachers, and you'll succeed. So God will be counter to that if he allow you to just succeed and you ain't listening to nobody. You can't be your own God. Let's go to the next verse, though, because this gets good. Go ahead and push the button. Next verse. Y'all mad at me? You ain't gonna push the button? Okay. Did we get the button? So they got up. That's the wrong button. Okay. Yeah, there we go. We got the button. No, that ain't the button either. Is that it? Okay. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang like Anthony, that got delivered from alcohol, gambling, and himself. Now, singing is, see, I'm a pastor now. Singing is part of how we get ready for you to receive your victory. And a lot of you miss worship, so you're not even ready for the word. You come so late, it's ridiculous. You don't need to do that. You need to come on time because you need the worship, because it needs to knock off all the mess you've been going through all week long. That's what the worship does. And you come in late. I tell you right now, you would not be working at the company you work at now if you come in at the same time that you come in now to this church. They'll fire your rump long time ago. Just try it this week. We'll try to get some referrals for you for other jobs. But just try. Just try. Just come out. Come in as late as you come to church. Half hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes late. Be bopping in with your Bible. And you missed all that supposed to help you and get you prepared for the spoil. For gathering the spoil. Because you think they just singing because they want to be in the nightclub. No, they're preparing the prop. They're preparing the land for you to be able to receive. You know, a lot of things I've been wanting to teach here at this church, I'm getting a chance to say now. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those. He didn't just let anybody that want to sing. You got to be appointed because we want you to be anointed. Some of you can't carry a tune in the bucket, and so we ain't putting you up here. Because there will be no anointing on you. Okay? We've had people stand next to you and hear you sing. Or try to. You want excellent singers. Because the Holy Spirit is an excellent spirit. And he is easily grieved. And that's the reason why most of the things that we sing here are on tracks. They're pre-recorded at studio quality. Because not only can the Holy Spirit not take it, I can't take it. I grew up listening to studio music only and radio and television, so I don't want to hear nobody trying to find the key. That's all right, sister. Pling, 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 pling. Uh-uh. We can't take it at this church. This is a ministry of excellence and integrity. I can't take that. Just play the track and sing on key. So, little side trail. So he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in their holy priestly attire. So you couldn't even get up in there and sing if you wearing that raggedy mess that the world has sold you over the last 10 years to make you think you're supposed to look like a bum. Amen. And come to church. You're coming up into royalty when you come to church. You ever heard of the Sunday best? It wasn't just a television program. It's how people used to think. I used to have Sunday shoes. I couldn't wear them no day but Sunday. Why? And it wasn't religious. That's not religious. I'll tell you what's religious. You can't come to church unless you look like a bum. That's religious. Because you're supposed to be contemporary now. You go up into heaven with that, God's going to rip it off and give you a new robe. They had been appointed and given what to wear to praise the Lord because they needed a victory. See, we have to come to the king like he's the king. One of the things, you never come into the presence of a king without a gift. Never. Never. I don't care if you've seen him 25 times over the course of 25 years. Every time you come in the presence of a king, you always bring a gift. Talking to Henry Hinn, whose dad was over in Israel and who served in the Israeli army as a commander, and he grew up with a lot of that royalty stuff over there in Israel, in Egypt, and he's the one that really drilled this into me. Pastor Shorter, and his wife would always come when she come to see us with a gift, and we learned to do the same thing, and he says, you just do not come in the presence of royalty without a gift in pomp and circumstance. And some of us, we treat God like he's nothing. Let me just say this to you. I said this to the men yesterday. And God got me all over the place today, but I'll call it preaching. There's a difference between fellowship and relationship. You are not really in fellowship with God because he's not in your boat. Fellowshippers. It's fellows in the same boat. You are in relationship with God. See, because you can't treat God like just another fella. We're to reverence God. God is God Almighty. He is not like your buddy that's on your Facebook. And we want to treat his house, his people, his preachers, his offering, like it's just one of the fellows I'm dealing with. Fellowship is for horizontal. Relationship is for up and down. And see, we've gotten these things screwed up because we've got a lot of preachers that relaxed things during COVID and called it a need for being able to give people relaxed. And, you know, and then the church stopped going to church and stopped church. And the church is always looking for trends. There ain't no, we don't need to be looking for another wave. Now the new wave is to be like the world. Now we'd have done this. We'd have done this. We'd have acted like the world, dressed like the world, hairdo like the world, skirts up like the world, done all this. And who can you show me you done witnessed to that came to the kingdom for all this compromise? We haven't received anything. Now the church is bursting loose right now in certain realms because they're standing up and preaching bold like I've been doing with you for the last, year or so. When the church stands up and be the church and not the world and say what thus says the Lord, then God can be able to use them. Thank you, all three of those amens. Here we go. See, and when I start talking about clothes, it messes y'all up. It just messes with your head. But you know what? I ain't preaching to you. God's preaching to you. Hold yourself up to a higher standard. I told you, be an example in whatever you do. I remember they used to teach this. If you want to be able to become whatever you're going to become, this used to be, it ain't. They don't say it so much, whatever, you want a promotion on your job, dress like your next promotion dresses. You want to be in management, dress like management. But now it's like, dress like a dog so you can be able to be related to people. And we don't relate to people anyhow, except for through our network of social network. And how's that going for you? How many people you bring to church today from your social network? People ain't listening to you off of that stupid thing. Where are they? Where are they? Where are the people following you on your Facebook? Where are the people on your Instagram? Where are they? How are you influencing them? You're not. You need to be what God would have you to be. Forget this stupid mess and just, it's just another communication media. It's just like any other, it's like a telephone. It's just a communication media. But then people don't have to, listen, when you die, your Facebook friends ain't coming necessarily to your funeral. I've done enough of them. I ain't thinking about you. There are thumbs up, and that's it, a picture. You get in trouble, you need a pastor. You end up in the hospital on your back with tubes all over your head, you don't need Facebook friends. You need somebody who knows how to pray, somebody really believe in this thing, somebody's going to stick with you, somebody's going to believe with you. See, and some of us, we just ain't been there yet. But you go there, you're going to find out who's your real friends. It ain't just some people that give you a thumbs up off a stupid pushing a button. I'll be gone in a couple minutes. Don't worry. They're going to get me out of here. Okay? So it says they had a certain attire. Now, what they wore, we wouldn't wear because they had the dress attire for that time. But we can present ourselves as presentable. Whatever. But you're going to do what you want to do anyhow. And probably because I'm preaching this, you're going to do the opposite. I don't give a rip. And it ain't going to keep you out of heaven. Remember, you're already established. I'm just trying to tell you how to prosper. And as they went on before the army and said, praise and give thanks. This is amplified. This is what they said in the Hebrew. Praise and give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. Let's go back to King James Version. See, you gotta realize this is how we get the victory. By praising the Lord. I said to you last week that as you get older, we usually get more thankful. Usually, not always. And we need to be more thankful. Your victory is waiting for your thanks. Your thanks will trigger your victory. So if you don't have enough, you need to thank God for what you got. Our first lady was bringing that up to us the other day. I don't know where it was. But she said, Jesus thanked God when it wasn't enough food to feed the people. If you don't have enough, thank God that you don't have enough, because God's a miracle worker. We don't wait till we get enough. We thank God for it. I know this is a hard teaching for some folks, but we need to get a hold of it. Here's what they did. He appointed the singers, gave them attire, and they praised him. And when they had consulted the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness. What is that? See, God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I'm going to use you, Anthony. Can I use you? Is that all right? Okay, I saw your lips move, so I think you said yeah. Okay. Okay. Anthony got sick of sloppy life and decided to go to holy life. Now, he was still singing in folk choirs, playing blues during the week, gambling away whatever he got. But Anthony, in his testimony, said there came a day that he really wanted to be a Christian. So he came up in this church and made a decision after he heard the preacher talking about, you ain't really a Christian if you're doing all that and still trying to be a Christian. The hardest thing to do in the world, please write this down. The hardest thing to do in the world is straddle a fence. You're going to hurt yourself. You either got to get on one side of that property or the other side. You will hurt yourself straddling the fence. He got sick of that. He searched for holiness. Now, God says in his word in Peter, be ye holy, for I am holy. It is the decision that you make. So you can be nasty, you can be sloppy, you can be rebellious, but in order to be holy, you have to decide that. Which means you ain't going for no more casinos. You ain't drinking no more. Which takes me to the next thing that God told me actually to preach this morning, or afternoon, or whatever it is. You need to get alcohol out of your house. I told the men this yesterday. God is strongly putting this in my heart. If you got alcohol in your house, you got a curse. Alcohol will bring a curse to your house. It will call. I grew up with an alcoholic part-time. My uncle, my favorite uncle, along with some of my other relatives, I had to babysit every Friday because one of my relatives, and I've put it in my book, my mom was one that was caught up with gambling. I put it in Winning Against All Odds because it has to do with winning. She wanted to help my dad out. My dad was a military man, and he had six kids at home. And if she went to go to work, then she had to pay for a babysitter. She had to be able to do all this stuff to do that. So she figured if she just go and gamble a little, playing bingo, something very, 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 you know, that's so Pollyanna. No, it's not. Because she got addicted to trying to believe for the money to come in through another source like this man did with his horses and his tables and his numbers. If you're trusting in the Lord, you don't need to be trusting in nothing else, including the bingo table. And you don't need alcohol. I remember a man that came in here. I told a little bit about this story the other day. Came in here, one of the first people that came to this ministry, and sat back there in the back with drumsticks in his hand because his wife told him the only way to get him to church was to tell him that you can play the drums in the church. We had just started this ministry. He was on crack cocaine. He used to rob out of her purse every day to the point where she had to get ready for work as a legal attorney, as a legal secretary in downtown Tacoma. She had to get ready in McDonald's, put her makeup on there. And this guy would steal out of her purse. He had a good heart, was a good person, but he would drink like crazy, and then he added crack. He added violence because crack and alcohol don't mix that well. And this man came to this church and sat back there because his wife told him, hey, listen, all you need is to bring your drums. You can play their drums. The only problem, we were so new. We had just started. We was in a school with a little music stand for my Bible to stand on and a microphone and an old raggedy amplifier. We didn't have no drums. So he came in, he said, I want to play your drums. He was drunk and high. I said, just wait back there. Just wait for a couple minutes. He came again to another service and came again to another service looking for the drums. In one service, I walked back there. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah. I laid hands on this man and I cursed the demons. He jolted and got up and went to the bathroom, threw up. And like Anthony, 3 years ago, he never took another drink. He never was on crack again. God delivered him. I didn't deliver him. God delivered him. He got so delivered that he would stand up in the back of the church, now standing. He wouldn't sit, but he'd stand up, and he would hold his hands up, praising the Lord consistently and singing. And he was an excellent singer. He did that so long until we just had to put him on the worship team. And he was the one that went with us to the Philippines, him and his wife, to minister in the Philippines. We put him on staff. God bless this life and bless this life and bless this life simply because of the fact that he gave his life just like this man, totally to the Lord. He couldn't straddle the fence. Alcohol, crack, Jesus. Alcohol, crack, violence. Alcohol, crack, almost divorce. The time when he really turned his life prior to me praying for him, he was sitting with a shotgun on his bed. Was going to blow his brains out. And God spoke to him because he was upset because his wife was sort of scared of him then because he was on all this stuff. And God spoke to him and said, you don't want to do this because I love her more than you do. And so why don't you just put the gun away? So he took the shotgun, put it away, took the shells out, and just cried. And shortly after that is when I prayed for him, laid hands on him. That man's life changed completely. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He began to praise the Lord and praise the Lord and praise the Lord until he had to get free. If you will do what it's saying here, praise the beauty of holiness, not to praise the beauty of sloppiness. We serve an excellent God, a God that has angels all around him, a God that sends forth his spirit, a God that has given you his word, a God who's allow his son to die for you. He died for you. The Bible says he was born to die. What were you born for? You weren't born just to die. You were born to live a great life. And that's what I'm trying to preach on you. But you can't do it without this spirit of holiness, the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they went out before the army. See, your praise has to go before the battle. You're going into court. You need to start praising God for the victory before you get to court. I'm on jury duty this week. Hopefully, I'll get your case. And as they went out before the army, and they say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I remember last year about this time, that's what I had picked up. I couldn't even eat a plate of food without almost crying over it. I've been eating all my life, but all of a sudden it hit me, God's provided this. God has given you this. His mercy endures forever. And I would find myself saying, gosh, Lord God, thank you for your mercy. As I was getting more and more released from that poison that was put in my body by those physicians, I was praising God. And all of a sudden, my mind was coming back. All of a sudden, I could think again. All of a sudden, I was ready to work. I was ready to do things. I wasn't just sitting at home staring at the wall. I was like, and I was just started thanking God. When you start praising God, guess what? Watch this now. I'm done. Just let me read this part. Next verse. And when they began to sing and praise, that's why we have midnight prayer and praise. The Lord set ambushments against their enemies, the children of Ammon, Moab. Moab is where Ammon and Moab, those are the people that started this homosexual stuff. They started taking babies and offering them over fire. Those were the ones that started this, where we have people that want to mutilate our children. We have people that want to live perverted lives. It started with Ammon and Moab. They were coming after Israel, and Israel needed some help. And the way they got help is the way you're going to get help. You better start praising God. You better thank God, even if it don't look like you're going to win. You better praise God. I wrote the book Winning Against Old Odds. You better learn how to praise God even when it looks like you ain't going to win. You don't look like it's going to win. If you don't think you're going to win, you never will. You better praise God. The only way to win is praising God. The only way to get healed is keep praising God. Thank you, Lord. I believe I received my healing. I prayed and I asked. Thank you, Lord. I believe you're prospering and I'm being in health as my soul prospers. Stop picking up what the world has. Do what God says in his word. I'm done. It says, the children of Ammon, their enemies, Moab, their enemies, Mount Seir, were come against Judah and they were defeated. They were smitten. Your enemies will be defeated when you start praising God. I don't care if it's legal. I don't care if it's health. I don't care if it's money. I don't care if it's whatever it is. It can be emotional. It can be your marriage. When you start praising God, start thanking God for a good marriage, even though you don't have one. Start thanking God. Well, thank you, Lord. My husband, my wife, they love me. My wife loved me a whole lot. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of that's wishful thinking, but you're giving God praise. Thank you, Lord. We're together. We love each other. What's the opposite? This old raggedy marriage. This girl ain't doing nothing for me. I'm so sick of this dude. I ain't thinking about him. I ain't going home. I don't even want to beat him. You're going to get that. Next week, we'll find out. You'll have whatever you say. Not what God says, necessarily. You'll have what you say. You will have whatever you say. Mark 11, 23, 24, 25, 26. You'll see it. I'm telling you, you will have whatever you say. So if you don't want it, don't say it. But the better side of that is what you want, you need to speak. Because you will have whatever you say. Say, God, thank you for giving me your word. Now, we're going to practice this in Jesus' name. I call that done. We're going to practice this by praising God. Some of y'all are like, praising God? What are we going to praise God for? You need to praise God for what you don't have. Ain't no sense in talking about what you do have. Well, I'm sick, but don't praise God for that. Praise God that you believe you receive your healing. That's where faith comes in. See, this thing, it works the opposite as the world does. The world works on facts. God works on truth. So why don't you stand up, change your position. Let's praise God. Now, don't just clap your hands. Say something with your mouth. Open your mouth right now. Thank God. Come on, right where you are. Come on, let's praise him. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you, Father, for that which you don't see. Thank him for it. Thank him for it in Jesus' name. Thank him for what you do have. Come on now. Don't complain about what you don't have. Come on, take some time and just thank him. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that she receives it. I'm speaking about something over my wife. I believe she received it in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the victory in this house. Thank you, Lord, that these people are receiving you. Come on, thank God with your mouth. Open your mouth. Don't wait until the game's on. Come on, open your mouth now and give God some praise in Jesus' name. We give you praise, God. We give you praise, God. We thank you, Lord. Set those ambushments against their enemies. God, if this is your word, I pray, God, that you would have the signs following with what you have said in your word in Jesus' name. Give them praise one more time. Come on, loud, loud praise. Come on, out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Come on, you don't. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Give him praise. Let's hear you. Let's hear you. Let your neighbors hear you. Come on, say, praise the Lord. Say, hallelujah. Say, Lord, I receive it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I seal this time in the word. I seal it, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you that you got to say some of the things that you've been wanting to say, that you deliver the truth, and that we're living by that truth. And God, remind us as we're driving down the street just to give you praise, as we're washing them dishes, as we're vacuuming, God, as we're getting the car washed. God, remind us, Lord, as we're just sitting there by ourselves while we're sitting on the bus. God, remind us, Lord, as we're walking down the street. Remind us, God, as we take a break from that telephone. God, remind us while we're at work to give you praise for what we don't see because we believe we receive it. We believe we receive it. Say, I believe I receive it. I believe what I don't see is coming to pass. I believe those things that be not are coming to pass. Thank you, God. I have what I say. And so I thank you, Lord. It is coming to pass. I do have the victory. It's being mended. I'm being healed. My life is changing. Prosperity is coming. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Spirit of the Lord said, don't you dare go away from this without telling them what happened. What happened is that the enemies defeated themselves, and they took days picking up the gold and the silver and all of the spoil that was there. When you give God praise, you're going to get a spoil. You're going to get a victory. You're going to get blessed in Jesus' name just for praising him. Now, if you don't believe that, sit there with your arms folded. I don't care. I know what God has done for me, 38 years of pastoring. I've watched this over 50-something years of serving God. God is good. Come on, give him praise in Jesus' name. God is good. You better learn how to praise him in Jesus' name. Thank God. Thank God he gave you the breath you have. Father, in Jesus' name, I seal this word once again. Call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Y'all need to get loud. You need to be loud people. You need not just wait until the game is on this afternoon. You need to go get up, jump, and knock the popcorn over and everything. You need to get loud. You need to be loud. You need to be known as that loud believer. People should be saying, now hold it down, Pastor. Hold it down, sister. Hold it down, Mom. Hold it down. Nuh-uh. I ain't holding nothing down. God is good. And everybody needs to know God is good. If you don't like it, get nervous in the service, but God is good. Come on, give him praise in Jesus' name. I said, give him praise in Jesus' name. And you don't just give him praise with your hands. You give him praise with your mouth. Say something in Jesus' name. All right. Father, I seal it again. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen.